B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Breer is with us. He's brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union. Has your bank changed? Then change where you bank at Rockland Federal Credit Union. They have the account for you. They provide their members with quality, convenient, and friendly service. Visit rfcu.com today to find a location near you. What's up, Bert?
What's happening?
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
All right, we've got a new feature that we're going to try out here.
Hold on. You got cufflinks on?
Yeah, you like them?
But a vest?
Yeah.
Marty, look at this.
It's kind of like a Wall Street look, don't you think?
Not really.
Not really.
You would have suspenders and a tie and your hair slicked back. Right?
That's what a radio engineer would wear to a deposition.
looks like he's disguised going somewhere. I don't know what to make of this.
A dress shirt? Cufflinks?
Well, nice of you to dress up, too.
Yeah. Pats. Go Pats.
New thing we're going to try out here on the show called Weapon Draft Wednesday. So obviously a big talking point this Patriots season has been about Tom Brady's weapons. Mm. A big talking point not only of talk show hosts and those covering the Patriots, but of Tom Brady himself. Because, Bert, as you know, Tom Brady has brought this up in
a roundabout subtle way. Via certain seasoned sports anchor.
Yeah, whether it be his Jim Gray interview, whether it be him talking about the young players, whether it be about him saying that he's only the quarterback and he can only focus on what he does.
Yep.
He can't help anybody else do their job. He can only do his job. Things of that nature. Damn. There's been a lot of discussion about the players around him on the field.
So I see you guys both have printouts, and I don't have a printout.
Oh, you do. It's right there in front of you.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
You got a list there.
Oh, so we're going to draft.
Printout means absolutely nothing, though, Bert.
Yeah, my only issue with the printout is that it does not include players that are currently injured, and I just vehemently disagree with that. I believe that for the purpose of the exercise, we're talking about roster planning, right? The criticism of the Patriots is that for roster planning purposes, they didn't do enough in the offseason to prepare for the season, right? They didn't add enough, which means the Giants having Saquon Barkley and Sterling Shepard should count just because they're currently out this week.
They're out.
Yeah, they're not playing in this game, but they're on their roster and will return this season.
So are we going to throw them on the list?
No, they should be on the list. Absolutely.
You're going to throw Evan Engram on the list then, too.
Yes.
Yeah, so Evan
Engram. N'Keal Harry and Philip Dorsett.
Yep. N'Keal Harry, Burkhead.
Okay, so we're putting Engram on.
We put AB on.
So it has nothing to do with tomorrow night's game, then.
AB was part of the roster plan.
It's not about a matchup. It's about
AB on.
Yeah, but then you got to take AB as is, which is like he's not available right now. So, right?
AB, Watson, Demaryius Thomas, you throw any of those guys on the list?
AB's not on the roster. AB's not here.
So just guys who are on the roster.
Yeah, guys who are on the roster.
No. Okay, so Harry's on the roster. Who else do we have that we were
Sterling
missing?
Sterling Shepard and Saquon Barkley are on the Giants roster right now. They still play for the Giants.
So Shepard, Harry. We had Shepard and Harry to the receivers, right? We had Barkley to the running backs.
Yes.
We had Engram to the tight ends. Anybody else? Or is that it?
I don't know.
Are we missing anybody, though?
No.
So Wayne Gallman.
Burkhead.
Oh, no, we're still kind of workshopping this.
Okay, Burkhead's still on there.
Add Wayne Gallman.
Don't forget my guy, Damian Harris.
Yep, Damian Harris.
Okay.
Brandon Bolden.
Wayne Gallman's another good
one. James Devlin.
This isn't necessarily about Devlin. The matchup of tomorrow night's game.
It's about who's the best players.
Yeah, it's about who are the best players on the two teams that are playing each other.
Not when we talked about it yesterday, but that's okay.
Okay, so Gallman
Mr.
and
caveat.
Harris.
I don't think we got this detailed in the discussion yesterday.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the
I thought we were going to go with available
It's not
players.
Like these two players.
So it's weapon
it's
draft
not like
Wednesday.
The offensive players are on the field at the same time playing each other.
Okay. So we're adding Harry and Shepard to the receivers. We're adding Engram to the tight ends. We're adding Burkhead, Gallman, Harris, and Barkley to the running backs.
And it makes for a far more interesting discussion if we're talking about Sterling Shepard in this conversation.
And Saquon Barkley.
And Saquon Barkley in this conversation. Right. It's far more fun that way.
That's going to give Brady more ammo.
It is. It's far more interesting.
Absolutely.
It's a better discussion. So, I just think that if we're talking about it now, who's the first guy that you would draft off the board?
Add Philip Dorsett. Dorsett.
Yep. There you go.
Philip Dorsett and N'Keal Harry.
Yep.
Okay. I think we're good now, though, right?
I think we are.
Okay.
I think we've got everyone. So it's receivers and running backs
yep.
in the weapons draft.
Let's roll.
So, Bert, who would you take off the board first? If you're drafting from receivers and running backs between the Patriots and Giants.
This is easy.
You're a quarterback. Who do you want first?
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley is the first guy you would take.
Yep. Good for you.
Okay.
And
you wouldn't? I'd take
Edelman.
I thought about that, right. but I think I would take Buggy. It's easy because of who Barkley, like the different things Barkley does, but Edelman makes some sense for them because of who he is and what
he's
he
the offense. Yeah.
But I'd take Barkley.
Okay, so you go Barkley one, Edelman two. Everybody okay. in agreement with that?
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll come to a consensus on this. I think that's the fastest way. We're not going to do eight different drafts.
Okay. So
okay.
Edelman two. I would say number three might be Ingram.
Ingram to tight end.
Yeah.
Yeah, we looked at some stuff on him. He's pretty good. I go Ingram or Shepard.
Yeah.
Well, so, I would say that Shepard's really good. I really like Shepard, and Ingram's right there with him. So if we're going to go Ingram three, is Shepard automatically four?
No, because I might go James White there.
Okay, so then this is, and again, to reset, if we already covered this, my apologies, but are we talking about with Tom Brady as the quarterback or just as a team?
A team.
You're a quarterback. You're picking your weapons.
You're right? the quarterback.
Who do you want?
Robert. I would go James White next because of the versatility.
Like, you've already got Saquon Barkley, though. Don't forget.
Isn't it amazing if AB shut his mouth, he'd be number one here?
Yep. Jesus.
So now you're just trying to build the roster. You're not duplicating.
We're roster build, Jim.
Just the weapons.
Fine.
So you can't take James White because you already have Saquon Barkley.
No, fine. We're just taking the weapons.
I want James White.
So you want James White over Shepard?
Yes.
So Bert says yes. Ingram. Are we going Ingram?
Yes.
White,
Ingram is three.
Yes.
Okay. Ingram's three.
Ingram's three.
So then Shepard has to be five.
Okay. So White is four.
I go White four.
Shepard five.
Yes.
Shepard five.
Okay. Okay, so Ingram.
We're all writing these down like it means something.
Yeah. It does.
Our draft
because
boards.
I can tell you, we have not. We are.
It's a very serious exercise.
Josh Gordon, six.
I think that's
anybody
fair.
Argue that?
I think that's fair. Hold
Is
on.
Is it better than Golden Tate?
Golden Tate. Well, it depends. Use that in a sentence, Jim.
I think I might go Golden Tate there. I think I'd rather have Golden Tate. Just toughness.
Gordon's pretty tough, but.
Who's more reliable, though?
Golden Tate.
Who?
Golden Tate's pretty
because
reliable.
Because with Tate, you're still talking about injuries now.
Yeah, it's true.
Go Gordon slash Tate.
Impede.
No, you can't do that.
Sure. All right, well,
that defeats the whole purpose of the exercise.
Okay, but here's what I think we got, though. We have one tier with Barkley and Edelman, right? Yeah. Then we have a second tier with Ingram, White,
I think
Shepard,
given where,
then we have a third tier with Gordon
I think
Tate.
Given where Tate is right now, I think you do have to go Gordon Edelman.
Okay, yeah, so, but then,
I agree.
Then Tate's seven?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
or 6A. Yeah.
All right.
Gordon and then Tate.
Okay, so Gordon off the list, Tate off the list. All right.
So it goes Barkley, Edelman, Ingram, White, Shepard.
Now are we into Gordon, Sony Michelle Tate. Territory now?
Yes.
Or Dorsett? I think Michelle would be eight, right?
I'd go Michelle Burkhead next two.
Okay. Burkhead over Dorsett?
Yes.
Okay.
For versatility.
All right. See, this is where the Giants really drop off, right?
Yes.
This is where, like, they fall off a cliff. Because you look at the other names.
You could go Dorsett, Harry.
Cody Latimer, who was, X2. Like, a bust in Denver 5 years ago. Darius Slayton.
No, I'd go Dorsett,
I mean, Harry's
the guy.
Harry. So
we're going Golden Tate to Sony Michel to Rex Burkhead. And then who are the next two?
Harry Burkhead, and Dorsett.
No, Burkhead's nine. And then Dorsett's 10, right?
Burkhead.
I already had Burkhead on air at 8. I'd go.
You had Michelle 8, right?
Michelle,
Michelle 8.
Dorsett.
Michelle, Burkhead, Dorsett, Harry.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, so we got Barkley and Edelman 1, 2. That's the first tier. And the second tier, you got Ingram 3,
we
White 4,
We have 11
four,
guys
Shepherd,
on the list.
5.
How many more do we need?
I think we're good.
Yeah.
I think we're good.
What about Jakob?
I don't think we need to draft him. Is there anyone else on this list that even needs to be drafted?
I mean, would Devlin be 12 if he was up?
No, we don't need to. We don't even need to go that far.
No.
We've got 11 guys on the list.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Because I see a lot of Patriots on that list.
And I think it says the Giants have probably better
high-end, you got better balance.
And you've got better depth.
Better balance and depth.
Yeah.
You got a lot of depth pieces.
Right.
And the guys that are ahead of the guys at the, you know, Barkley's the top of the list. There was a debate there. There's a debate over Edelman versus Barkley.
Barkley's pretty good.
Barkley's the top of that good. List. But you're talking about a running back versus a receiver.
Yeah. But a running back who gives you a lot in the
okay.
game.
Receiver-wise, take the running backs out. Who is the number one receiver in there?
I would take Edelman.
Edelman over Sterling Shepard.
Edelman, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So in this game, the Patriots have the best receiver out of the two rosters, right?
Yeah.
How many games do you think we could do that where if we drafted the receivers, the Patriots are going to end up having the best receiver in the game?
That'll happen next week,
almost
too.
Everyone for Zoe.
Everyone till Cleveland.
Cleveland, you will probably lose that one on the weapons front.
Yeah, right.
Odell Beckham Jr.
You got Odell Beckham, then you have Landry.
You have like what you have after that. You have the Ravens with Hollywood Brown.
I wouldn't put Hollywood above Edelman.
No, I wouldn't either. Not yet.
Not yet.
We'll talk more about this. 617-779-0985.
Quickly, with the caveat, if AB kept his mouth shut and off his phone, he's still number one over everybody.
Okay, well, maybe
that's why he was available in the first place.
Maybe without AB, your weapons aren't that bad after all. Every week you can do this list.
I think
you can draft this list every Wednesday, and you can say, oh, look, compared to the opponent.
Well, that's the point of the exercise here.
Weapons aren't that freaking bad, are they?
That's the point of the exercise.
Yeah, look, you're not so bad.
How's Brady's yardage?
We'll get to that.
Oh.
A unique, an interesting statistic about where he's at this year compared to a record-setting year in his past. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody. To the left, to the left. To the left, to the left. To the left, to the left. Everything you own in the box to the left. In the closet, that's my stuff. Yes, if I bought it. Please don't touch, don't touch. And keep talking endless, that's fine. But could you walk and talk at the same time, man?
Let's get your ass in line.
Jim tells me this was the number one song in 2007.
He's doing halftime.
That was the year the Patriots went undefeated. Didn't lose a game in the regular season.
Right.
Tom Brady threw for, you know, 4 million yards.
You must know about me.
Zoe clearly
remembers
this one.
Another man in a minute.
He loves Beyonce.
Just like that. I love Beyonce.
Do you?
Yes.
Big fan?
Doing halftime this year.
That's right.
He's fired up for that.
That's absolutely right, Zoe. Well, would you be surprised to know that Tom Brady, who is obviously at age 42 doing miraculous things in his NFL career, he threw for 4,806 in that season.
Lit it up.
In 2007.
Yeah.
4,806 yards, 50 touchdowns, and just lit the world on fire. Would it surprise you to know that through the first five games of 2019, he's thrown for more yards through the first five games of this season than what he threw in the first five games of 2007?
And that's something, huh?
First five games of 2007, he threw for 1,383 yards. So far this season, he's thrown for 1,409 yards.
Ooh. Look out, NFL, once they get this thing cranked up.
Whew. In 2007, through the first five games, he threw 16 touchdowns. This year, he's thrown 10.
Okay.
So the touchdowns are not close.
No.
He has completed one more pass through five games.
I think they're better balanced.
Like he's completed 118 passes versus 117 passes through five games.
Is Dante Stallworth not
his completion percentage a little bit lower this time around because they're throwing a lot more?
Does Dante Stallworth not get enough credit for that year? Because you go back and look at, okay, well, why were they at yards? Well, a lot of it was Moss, right? Moss Walker. They really didn't have a back. You know, sort of that guy that would receive the ball. And Stallworth had his catches, had his fair share of stuff. But like it seems like he's got better balance now.
By the way, this does not put Brady on pace to break the 4,806. His pace for the season is 4,500. 508 yards.
Oh, what a bad 509 year.
509 yards, I should say. So he's on pace for over 4,500 yards, which is more than what he had last year. Last year he was at 4,355. So he's on pace to throw for more yards than he did a year ago.
Mm.
He's on pace to be somewhere in the ballpark of what he was two seasons ago in 2017. But through five games, he's thrown for more yards this year through five games than he did through the first five games of 2007. I don't know how he's doing it. Lack of weapons.
Zo just said he's more balanced.
It's got to be tough.
More weapons.
Yeah.
Just not as many high-end ones.
Different. He's getting to that number differently. But does he like it? Which one would
Do
you rather
have? Do we
care
if he likes it, though, is the question.
No, just win. No. No, I don't think we care.
Or is he playing better because he's pissed?
Is he? Did he have a great first half last week? Like, I think he played better.
I couldn't
then.
Believe it when I saw 348 yards and three touchdowns at the end of the day.
Me
I
too.
Was looked, I said, wow, Beal, dude, do you think Brady had a good game? And we're like, eh.
Dude, I would look through it at halftime, and he was, like, hitting on, like, 65% for, like, 205. I'm like, where'd those yards come from? Are you kidding me? Like, wow. He's having actually
It's not like
game.
They had an 80-yard touchdown in there mixed in to, no, to inflate the
no,
numbers.
No, no.
617-779-0985. Pete in Westminster. Hey, Pete.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
What's up, Pete?
I want to give you a quick take. You guys usually seem to get a good kick out of my takes, you know, using words in the past that's as ridiculous or stupid.
Yeah, so you're the pre-take of the take.
This is a take. So, now, hear me out first. Young quarterbacks haven't done very well against the Patriots' defense. And Eli Manning has beat Tom Brady twice in the biggest stage. What are the odds the Giants start Eli over this young guy this week?
None.
Zero.
Don't waste our time.
It's a dumb take.
Zach in the car. Zach.
Hey guys. Hey. I'm in the car, and I am a little nervous because I age out of your number one demographic on Monday, so this is my last call in your number one demographic.
Wow. You're that old, huh?
Yeah, I'm sensitive about it. My question is there a fallout between you guys and KVN, because you guys had Gilmore yesterday.
No, we rotate every week.
No, they rotate.
Rotate every week.
So let me just challenge you on that, because that's what the intern said. But KVN is such good radio.
Hold on.
And I just definitely think he was in his dust up last week because of his comments about Harrison, and I definitely think that there's something
there. Hold on, Mr. Out of Demographic. Yep. Did you just talk to the intern now, and he said that?
He it sounded like he didn't want to put me on the air because his explanation was he batted away my
Stand up, Herb.
Hold on. So, the intern told him what we just told him.
Go ahead.
That we rotate them. What are you yelling at him for?
Right. He said there's a dust-up.
No, the intern told him what we just told him. The same thing.
That they rotate every
That we rotate time. The guests. Yeah, Zach, do you think we want Gilmore instead of Van Noy?
No. You definitely want Van Noy.
Yeah, well,
I want to say one more thing, because it's really important to this point. Because,
sure.
Especially because Bert's in the studio.
He's not. He actually has to step out for this segment, so he's not.
Okay.
He's not going to hear you.
Here's what happened. You complimented him with a Harrison comment on the very week that Burfict was suspended for the season for a dirty hit. So I think Van Noy was definitely hypersensitive to be compared to a guy who you guys were giggling about being voted the most dirtiest player for 8 or 9 years in a row. So I just think that those are the dots I'm connecting. That he was sensitive about being compared to that guy, especially during the week where Burfict was suspended for the season for what he did.
I think you're connecting a third thing there, and maybe you.
I mean,
it's interesting,
but I don't think that's anywhere close to.
No, and I don't even think you can connect the first two. I think for his own reasons, Kyle Van Noy didn't want to be compared to him or necessarily anyone else, and maybe we talked about it a little longer than he would have liked, either during his phone call in or in the days afterward. But it was a noteworthy comment. You're just going to let it go and not, you know, ask him anything more about it.
We have no issue with Van Noy.
No, I don't. Hey, well, I don't, of course we don't. I don't know.
I'm saying I don't think he has any issue with us.
I don't think so.
No, zero issue with us. I saw him Sunday. I have a question, though. What are you doing for halftime? You're going to be on air. Guess who they're honoring at halftime tomorrow night?
Who?
Rodney Harrison.
Oh. He's going to be in the building?
Oh, yeah.
A little halftime honor. Hmm. So do you think that they'll see each other at some point?
I'm sure Rodney will go out of his way to make, yeah.
Oh, well, thanks for sparking that flame.
I like that caller's idea. That's like what we do with Brady and Jim Gray. He's just analyzing the interview word by word.
I think more people should do that.
Great.
I don't think he's terrific. Close, but I think it's interesting.
Terrific. I love that he's paying attention.
Yeah.
I love that he paid attention to the fact that we talked to Gilmore yesterday. I'd love to have Van Noy every week, but that's not what they'll give us every week. They give us Gilmore.
Right.
And it used to be worse. It used to be our boy Nate Solder, who we love, great guy, but not a great interview.
Mm. The year it was a rotation of Solder, Vollmer, and then somebody else.
That Vollmer. Was the Solder, Vollmer,
Vreen,
and
Vreen.
Vreen. No, Vreen no. No, that was the
Slater?
Year before.
Slater
no.
was good.
No, who was it? Was it Dion Lewis?
I don't know.
We had a year.
They always got hurt.
We had a year where I think it was Dion Lewis and Solder were rotating. We had a year in there.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep. Right? Dion Lewis and Solder were the rotation, and it was, that was a tough one. It was a tough year. Tough year.
Andrews is usually good, too. I like Andrews.
I like Andrews. Oh. I like Andrews because he can get a little salty every now and again.
What's the intern saying? Stand up again so people can see you on TV. Why did you dress the way you dressed today? Why'd you dress like a cornucopia? Are you going to play today?
He's got a very autumn.
Are you playing a sunflower?
Autumn theme today.
Are you playing a gourd, a pumpkin? What are you playing today? Artie.
It's an autumn pastel.
It's autumn.
Put your orange backpack on it. It looks like you're going trick-or-treating. Put your orange backpack on. That $5 backpack you got in Mexico, you told me. It's like an Under Armour backpack that fell off a truck you bought in Mexico for $5. Turn around. Spin.
He's modeling
spin
it.
Herb.
He's modeling
there
it.
There you go.
Jesus Christmas.
Hardy.
It's a very...
When Beetle and I do our new pro fall savings read, I mean, I think fall when I look at this kid. Like, he walks down the street, I'm like, hey, fall! What's going on, Autumn?
Seriously, with those brown pants and that orange shirt, that is like...
Where do you even buy that?
That's like Charlie Brown Halloween special color clothes. That's what the kids wear.
You got those discount, didn't you?
Right now.
60s. You got those at Job Lot. That's a Job Lot outfit.
Right now, caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on New York tomorrow night at Gillette Stadium, courtesy of Dunkin'. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin'. For DD Perks members, because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans 2x the points on any size coffee. So don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. Excludes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary, a limited time offer. And it's caller 10 right now on the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985 to score a pair of tickets to see the Pats tomorrow night. Burt Breer will rejoin us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Yeah. You know what? I like the playoffs. No diggity, no doubt. Play on, play out. Play on, play that. Yo, Dre, drop the verse.
It's going down, fades to Black Street. The homies got at me, collab creations.
What are you doing here?
Burt Breer is with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. We have given away the Patriots tickets. We will have another chance for you to win coming up at 1:30.
Very excited winner, Tom said.
Really?
Very excited.
Awesome. We have a name in town, first name in town, maybe? To share that excitement?
Sandy from Bedford, New Hampshire.
Sandy from Bedford. Congratulations. Enjoy the game. Make sure you bring your raincoat. because it looks like we're going to have some weather tomorrow night.
It's going to be ugly. It's going to be windy, too. Huh?
Yeah, a little wind, a little rain.
Like 20 mile an hour.
Ground rains. Game. Big night for Sony Michel.
It's okay. We have Ohio State's Mike Nugent as our kicker.
That's right. He's ready for the conditions, Jim.
Is he?
Ready for the conditions.
But is he, Bert?
Played in Columbus, played in Cincinnati, played for the Jets. He's ready for the conditions.
But is he? Bert is with us. We can get back to your calls, assuming our lines get freed up a little bit from all the...
Are you more of a Young Wei Koo guy then?
I am. I'm always always for the young guys. Young guys!
Young Wei Koo.
Well, I'm for there being a short leash on guys who can't hit extra points.
Yeah.
Especially when you're not the kicker. You're the replacement kicker. Nugent is not the kicker. He's the guy who's here just for the replacement.
Right.
So.
I mean, they may go through a few kickers before they get this right. That's Jen.
Yeah.
I know people here have been sort of... I guess you're like sort of shielded from the way the rest of the league works.
Oh.
Because you've had Vinatieri and Gostkowski for so long.
Right.
But there are plenty of teams that like will work through kickers over the course of the year and like won't settle on someone until you get to like November, and that might be who the Patriots are right now.
Might take a little bit of time. Yeah. It might take the next few months to figure that out. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Mike Nugent is the last guy that I went to school with that's still in the NFL, by the way. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
You're old, Bird.
I'm old.
You are old. Let's get to your calls coming up. Also, I don't know if you were able to hear this. I know you had to step out on a call quickly, Bert, but Tom Brady's thrown for more yards through the first five games of this season.
Than last year?
No, than he did in 2007.
Really?
Really.
Wow. What does a touchdown count look like?
16 in 2007, 10 so far this year.
So less this year, but... The yardage, I think, is probably more a function of where the game's gone. The fact that
he's completed one more pass this year than he did through this point in 2007.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I looked that up too.
Okay. So
the number of completed passes is pretty much the same.
Okay. So at the beginning of that year, who did they play? They played in the open. They played the Chargers. I think that was week 2, right? That was a really good Chargers team. They played the Jets in the opener. The Jets had Revis and David Harris.
Bills,
and all those
Bengals,
guys.
Browns. Yeah.
So, yeah. The Browns were good that year. And the Browns won 10 games that year.
Ooh, well. They're going to win 10 games this year?
It's not looking great.
All right, let's talk about some of the latest Patriots trade rumors, including going back to something you talked about. I want you to repeat this, what you said on Sunday, because I've repeated it for you a number of times since Sunday to our listeners. And that is the reluctance of the Cincinnati Bengals to do trades.
Yeah.
As it relates to a couple of guys, A.J. Green, who is now on the record saying he wants to be like Larry Fitzgerald and leave a legacy in Cincinnati the way that Larry Fitzgerald will leave a legacy in Arizona, meaning he does not want to be traded. He wants to stay with the team that drafted him. He is on the record, did a story with The Athletic and said all of this. There's that, but also Tyler Eifert, because those are two names that keep coming up in trade rumors here. You told us something on pregame on Sunday about the Bengals and their reluctance to do deals.
It's always been who they are. I mean, they move slow. You can go back to the Carson Palmer situation in 2011. You remember he retired. It took some team coming and moving heaven and earth to get him out of there. I believe the Raiders that year gave up a 1 and a 2, which doesn't sound crazy now, but back then was a lot to give up in a trade. I think it was considered almost historic what the Raiders gave up to go and get Carson Palmer then. So it's just not who the Bengals have been, and they've been more conservative with free agents. They've been more conservative in the way they draft. You look, they're not all that active trading on draft day usually. And ultimately, they've been more conservative about moving veterans in situations like this. That said, there are good players in that roster, guys. Like, you look at it, A.J. Green, Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, Tyler Eifert. If I'm a contending team, I'm calling about those guys. Tyler Eifert's really interesting to me just because if he's healthy.
Not expensive, right?
If he's healthy, he's not expensive.
Right.
And if he's healthy.
He can catch.
He's a good two-way tight end. Yeah, I mean, like.
Plus, he's got size. He's 6'6", 5'6".
And it happens a lot. Like, Gronk isn't, it's funny. Like, we all kill Gronk for his ability to stay healthy and on the field earlier in his career. I sort of think, it's like a part of that position because of what you're doing. You're doing so many different things. You're blocking. You're catching the ball. You're taking hits over the middle of the field from linebackers and safeties. So Tyler Eifert's one of these guys who played that position who just didn't hold up. But there was no question when he was right.
He's 6'6".
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Because right now these guys, and you see him in even warm ups,
guy
down
too. Like he would fit in perfect here from that standpoint.
The two tight ends right now look like fullbacks.
Yeah.
Like Jakob Johnson stood next to him. I'm like, wow, they're all three the same guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, they have no size at tight end.
Yeah. And I mean, he's another guy who, by the way, he's another guy
who's 6'6", 260. Wow.
He's another guy, by the way, who was recruited by Charlie Weiss.
Yep. Notre Damer.
So
Golden Domer.
Actually has some background in the offense because it was the offense he played in as a freshman at Notre Dame.
Injured there too early in his career.
Yeah.
Peter King had a very specific Patriots trade rumor this week as it relates to Stephon Diggs. You read that the Patriots and Vikings could do a deal. He said a trade deadline deal would make sense, especially if the season goes south for Minnesota, say for a second and fourth round pick in 2020. He also put numbers on it, gave specific numbers for, like, let's say he says the 60th and 125th pick to get him. Very specific picks that he throws in there as examples. Any truth to this, do you believe?
I don't think so. I mean, I've communicated with the Vikings pretty consistently over the last 2 weeks about this. I was told on three different occasions last week that Stephon Diggs is not available. He's expensive. There's that part of it. But there's also this. If you were the Vikings, why would you do that? Like, if it's not for a high-end return, why would you do that? Because if you look at their roster, right? Okay, you got Kirk Cousins. He's 31 years old. You have Adam Thielen. He's 29. You have Danielle Hunter. He's 25. You have Stephon Diggs is at 25 years old. I'm just going down here. Xavier Rhodes at 29 years old. Anthony Barr, 27 years old. Everson Griffin, 32 years old. It's all these guys who are in the heart of their career, you know? Like, you've got all of these guys who are, like, win-now players. Harrison Smith's another one. He's a very good player. He's 30 now. If you're going to trade a guy like that in midseason, it's a rip the Band-Aid off type of move, right? Like, it is a, all right, we're out. That's it. You know, we understand where we are as a franchise. We're moving on, right? It's like what the Raiders did last year with Amari Cooper. They knew they weren't going anywhere. So, like, let's get something from Amari Cooper while he still has value. This, like, so the Vikings have so many guys who are in the prime of their career. They've got a general manager who's been there for over a decade. They've got a head coach in his 60s. And they've got no receiver depth. Like Chad Beebe, Don Beebe's kid, was going to be their number one receiver, got hurt. They had to bring Laquon Treadwell, who they cut out of camp, back. Like, their receiver position is a mess. Their passing game is not very good right now. Like, that's the question I ask. If you're the Vikings, what motivates you to move Stephon Diggs? A good player, 25 years old, who you've got under contract through 2023. Makes no sense.
I want to ask you a question about Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
And the Cleveland Browns. We'll get to that coming up next. Also, we'll talk quarterbacks and where they rank. Zo gave us his quarterback power rankings yesterday. They're creating quite the buzz out there. Huh? A lot of buzz on the quarterback ratings from yesterday. We'll ask Bert what he thinks of those coming up in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
First, our introduction.
Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is not a hot take. This is the action Cleveland needs to take. I would strongly consider trading OBJ. Cleveland is struggling with their identity. You're asking a rookie head coach to figure out Jarvis Landry, Callaway, Baker, Chubb, a below-average offensive line in OBJ. Number two is Kareem Hunt, a great running back, arrives in Cleveland by November 10th. You're going to have another mouth to feed? Chubb, Hunt, OBJ, Callaway. You got another mouth to feed November 10th? And number three, Cleveland's offensive line is completely overwhelmed against elite pass rushes. So let me ask you, use Andrew Luck as an example and Deshaun Watson. Everybody ripped Houston when they made that big trade and got Laremy Tunsil. You notice Houston last week? No sacks. It is time to consider moving OBJ. It's not a hot take. It's the action Cleveland should take.
Could the Cleveland Browns trade Odell Beckham Jr.? Got an email this morning from Tyler, one of our listeners. Good stuff, Tyler. Hi, referencing Tyler. An article from back in March. If you remember when Odell Beckham Jr. got traded from the Giants to the Browns, so much was made of how much of a steal it was for the Browns because so much of the money had already been paid to Odell Beckham Jr. Remember that, Bert? Bert, you know this yep. better than most people.
Yeah.
You know this stuff inside and out. The Giants had already paid him half of the $41 million that was guaranteed to him when he signed the deal. $20 million of his signing bonus was paid.
Yep.
It was, here you go. They already cut him a check.
Yep. I mean, he made $17 million, or he's due $17 million in cash this year. And then from there forward, he never gets to $16 million again. So, like, for the four years after this, it's 14.25, it's 15.75, then 15 and 15. So, that's very affordable. If you consider what Julio Jones just got, $22 million a year, what Mike Thomas got, $20 million a year, this is an affordable contract. Like, if the Browns were ever to think about this, the contract's not a hindrance. The contract's a commodity.
By the way, that was Colin Cowherd on his show yesterday saying the Browns, given the state that they're in, with, I think, a head coach who's probably in over his head. That's probably the issue there.
Guys, don't we know, like, how many times do we have to see this? Like, where we're looking at a team with all these shiny weapons and, like, the fact that they don't have their crap together up front, like, just completely screws everything up.
Well, you have a guy, you have a guy's head coach that was a running back coach.
If you watch them play, but if you watch them play on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Like,
they're going to get him killed.
Or on Monday night. Like, wasn't it way more relevant that Greg Robinson was bad than it was that Odell Beckham was good, right? Wasn't it way more relevant that Chris Hubbard was bad than that Jarvis Landry is good?
So
if you don't have
isn't that the same debate that's going on right now with this team, though, and look at the Patriots?
And look at the team that beat them. The team that beat them, San Francisco, first-round pick at left tackle. I know he's hurt, but Joe Staley is a first-round pick. They've invested in at left tackle. Mike McGlinchey at right tackle, another first-round pick. Weston Richburg, their center, a big-ticket free agent item. And then on defense, the guys they have up front, Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner, Dee Ford, Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas. I mean, it's like, how many more examples do we need? Like, that's what really matters. And I think with I'll bring this right back over to the Patriots. I think the offensive line is a bigger issue than the skill positions right now.
I would agree. Been saying that all along. And so when it comes down to what you should address, everyone's clamoring for a wide receiver and a weapon.
I would tell you right now,
I'd rather make sure your offensive line is going to be healthy. And so
if you gave me, if you
Zoe offer, says, I say a win is going to be healthy and be back, which I think is a massive upgrade from what they've got right now.
It is, but can you count on him to stay healthy? Because we have 2 years and that's the issue. I mean, if you told me right now, and I think this would be different for different teams, but if you told me right now, if I was Bill Belichick, and you offered me Trent Williams or Odell Beckham, who would you take? I would take Trent Williams in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
That to me is a safer bet than taking Odell Beckham Jr.
Even though he's 6 years older.
OBJ is the biggest comparison to AB out there. And like, if you want that type of AB,
I just think
player,
he's crazy.
Yeah, but he's not AB crazy.
OBJ. No, I guess he's different kind of
he's
crazy.
He's a diva.
Total diva.
But he would.
Well, no, I would say Odell's not a bad guy. Like, I think AB, you can say, pretty bad guy. Like, Odell's not a bad guy. Odell's just weird.
Diva confused. Yeah.
But here's the other question. Who does Tom Brady want? Does he want the tackle?
OBJ.
Or does he want the receiver?
Probably
the receiver.
I think right now you have two viable options if they're going to go out and get anybody where he would be happy. It'd be Diggs or OBJ.
I'm curious to know what his desires if his desires impact the team's thinking at all. And if they play into them. And if they know it, because they know what he thinks.
Don't go after AB and put that risk out there.
And sort of the things he's been willing to say that I don't believe that he has said in other years.
The things that are on Jim Gray's script.
I mean, loaded questions.
Going back
but
to
not only that, but Bert, the things he's willing to say, Tom, now that you've been playing with these receivers, these group of bums.
Six or seven
games now.
Tom, I'm not sure how you've been handling this horrific situation that you're in.
Like, I even go back.
That's been a very frustrating season for you, Tom. Like, what? You guys are undefeated. What the hell is this guy talking about?
I go back to my week one interview
with
Bill.
Tom, what idiot put this team together?
It's It's never going to end. But if they take it into account,
yeah,
if that happens, because of what? He's a free agent at the end of the year. Yeah. They're going to worry about that. They have to worry about these things. Like, oh, we're going to make sure we keep Brady happy. Brady could leave at the end of the year.
They've never operated that way, though. Like, have they ever done anything like directly to appease Brady?
Brady's never been in this spot before.
But if they, oh, he hasn't? In 2006?
Where he could walk away?
Oh, well, where he could walk away, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you mean. Okay.
He's got real leverage.
He does, but I don't think, like, I'm not sure we've ever seen a circumstance where they've just been like, okay, like, we're going to do what Tom wants. Like, if like, Deion Branch wouldn't have been out of here in 2006, right? Randy Moss might have stuck around in 2010. Like, if we're up to Brady, if you were only worried about appeasing Brady, right? Like, they've done lots of things that, that go against what Brady wants.
True.
You think Nate Solder be gone?
I think Antonio... No, I just think they're in a different spot because of how it all played out with Antonio Brown. And because
the because coach and
quarterback agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coach and quarterback agree that they would like to have Antonio Brown here still.
I mean, look, I will say this.
Brady might go out and try and write, you know... Say, all right, we'll make that up here. We'll try and do this again. We'll try and get somebody else.
I mean, I don't think anybody would know better than the quarterback if there was a problem, right? Mm-hmm. If there's a problem at skill positions, like the quarterback would be one of the first people to figure it out. And the fact that he invested so much in trying to get Antonio Brown right and trying to keep Antonio Brown on the field, like that tells me that he saw a problem and maybe we're seeing that problem now. Maybe Josh Gordon isn't quite what he was even last year physically, right? He's getting a little older. I mean, he's 8 years into the league now. He's had the substance abuse issue. I'm not trivializing any of that, but that can take a toll on your body. Like, Josh Gordon doesn't look quite the same. Maybe he figures the young guys aren't going to be up to speed. I thought all along, like, part of, well, maybe he was trying to tell everybody something with how he handled the Antonio Brown situation, how he bent over backwards to make it work with Antonio Brown. Because maybe he knew if we don't have someone like that here, we could be in deep trouble.
The quarterback rankings, the power rankings of NFL QBs from yesterday's show. We'll get Bert's reaction to it, as well as yours, 617-779-0985. And Odell Beckham Jr., would you want a piece of that? Would you want that in New England? Is that a possibility? We'll get to all of this.
Great content.
Up. Yeah, great.
It'd be great
for the show. All that's on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.